For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Anthony, you just came back from, it wasn't just New York.
No, New York and Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay, that doesn't sound as exciting as Broadway.
Well, Broadway was exciting. I had the opportunity to go to the opening night of Escape to Margaritaville and did meet Jimmy Buffett at the party. Broadway opening nights are very glamorous and exciting. They begin with red carpet and celebrities arriving, some of whom don't even actually attend the performance, particularly if they're on Broadway themselves, because the show starts at 6:30. Well, they ask it to start at 6:30. It started at 7. And then subsequent to that, everyone heads on down to the Chelsea Piers, where there was a large party, really lavish. The biggest wedding you've ever been to, magnify that. And
how are the margaritas?
Abundant, and served at the theater before people went in. They clearly thought it was in their best interest to get the crowd loosened up before the beach balls go flying.
Well, this sounds like, what is it, a one-person jukebox musical?
No, he's not in it.
Okay.
No, it's his music, and it's a very dopey plot built around Jimmy Buffett, his music. But nobody seemed to care just how dumb this was, because the performers are fantastic, and the people just love his music. So it was a great delight to see how the lyrics matched the plot, to make it appear that the music had been written for the story and not the other way around. Kind of sweet.
So you're telling me, Shakespearean scholar Anthony Chase, that you had a great time.
Everyone has a good time, but okay. you also say, wow, that was dumb, but you have a great time. And everybody had the same. It's like, what did you think of that? Well, that was just terrible, but did you have a good time? I loved it. I just loved it. One of those guilty pleasures. And so people who love the music of Jimmy Buffett, and that seems to be most people, and not just parrot heads, can go down there and indulge that pleasure.
And then you went to Hartford for, well, Murder on the Orient Express. It was a recent movie, and now
yes,
it's a play.
Now it's a play. Ken Ludwig, who wrote Lend Me a Tenor, brilliant farce, has adapted Agatha Christie's novel to the stage. First-rate production qualities. Some of Broadway's best designers. It looks luscious. You're on this train, and it moves. And a wonderful cast with some Broadway names. Not funny enough for a Ken Ludwig play. He doesn't seem to want to devote himself to the gesture of reinterpreting this as a comedy, but very glad to have made the trip to Hartford to see it.
So Broadway, to Hartford, Connecticut, back to New York?
Back to New York. I had a couple of other days to catch up on shows, and Chita Rivera back at Feinstein's 54 Below, a posh nightclub below Studio 54, where in an intimate room and dinner you can see all of the Broadway greats perform eventually. If you're in New York, check out Feinstein's 54 Below. Chita, just fabulous to see her in her 80s, still entertaining the people.
Good tip. Now, tonight, a comedy is going to open, BUA over at Alleyway, Significant Other, the plot about a young man looking for love with just the right guy, meanwhile spends way too much time with his girlfriends and kind of loses focus on the prize. But that's just what I'm getting from the publicity. You've seen this on Broadway.
Yes, what happens is that one by one, his female friends get married and leave that old gang of his. Oh. So he finds himself not just alone, but alone. And for BUA, it's an interesting departure. They do many shows with variations of the same ensemble. This requires a very young cast, so they set about deliberately to audition new people. So it's chock-a-block full of new theater names, and they put them right out there, the poster, to show fresh faces of BUA, along with Darlene Pickering Hummert, who plays this young man's grandmother. And therefore, the billing is, and Darlene Pickering Hummert, and her name's in a box.
It's like the movies.
Like the movies. So while I'm out of town, I do not get to see what is up in town. So last week we had mentioned, you know, opening that championship season and Night Mother and Junie B. Jones is Not a Crook. You got to see these.
I did. And I must say, you mentioned that Pulitzer Prize winning plays tend to get revived. And it occurred to me watching that championship season, the reason is because they're such good plays.
Well, that's one of the reasons. There are many wonderful plays that don't get revived.
It's a little bit rough. It's about a 1952 championship basketball team that gets together every year to celebrate and relive the glory days. And it's just a room full of testosterone. These guys drink to excess, play with guns, they're sexist, they're racist. It's right there in front of your face. But, as I said, a powerful play.
And in time, the old days never are what they seemed to while you were living them, do they? So, that championship season.
And for a completely opposite theatrical experience, we headed over to Theater of Youth for Junie B. Jones is Not a Crook, in which Renee Landrigan reprises her role as Junie B. Jones, the kindergartner, who learns that perhaps the rule, finders keepers, losers weepers, is not the best rule for life.
Not a good philosophy. I will catch up with all of that and report back next week.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.